Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to MILF Talk. Make your life fabulous with Sophie Venable, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, author, life coach, mother of two, and whether you're married with children, single, divorced, poly, or somehow all of the above, I am talking to you about life, relationships, dating, and sex, and family, and holidays, and that's Todd.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for joining me today, my dear friend and actor extraordinaire, Todd Robert Anderson.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. How the hell was your Thanksgiving?
It was fine, you know? It was fine. Yeah, it was a small thing. My in-laws came over, so it was wife, son, my in-laws, and my friend Shannon.
Did you eat turkey? Or was it like some vegan loaf?
Yes, I got turkey and a vegan loaf. Both.
Oh, both.
So everybody could eat.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, my friend Shannon, she's not a vegan, she's a vegetarian. But so I got the tofurkey loaf.
Nice.
Whatever it was.
That was nice of you.
I try.
Very good. Because, you know, most people could just sustain themselves on like massive amounts of carbohydrate sides.
Yeah, sure. Yes, you could. Absolutely. And I'm sure she would have. But, you know, I feel like protein's important.
Yeah. Why not?
You know,
that was nice.
Keeps you going.
I
knew we'd be drinking. So, she needed a.
She needs something to soak it all up. I made a turkey this year.
You did?
I did. How? Like, I did the whole thing. Well, if you really must know, Todd, and it really came out pretty fantastic. I felt pretty good because this is the first time I've ever hosted Thanksgiving. I hosted Thanksgiving.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Was that nerve-wracking?
It was and it wasn't. I mean, it was kind of nice. My kids were thrilled to not have to like go to different places because their dad was like, do you guys really care if we do a Wednesday Thanksgiving this year? They're like, no. He's like, okay, fine. So they didn't have to do like three different Thanksgivings or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was actually really nice to just be kind of chill and be home. So, you know, I don't consider myself like a cook, but I can totally follow a recipe. So on some level, I guess I'm a decent cook because I can follow a recipe, right? So, I bought the turkey and defrosted it on the right day.
How many days?
I put it in the fridge. I went from the freezer to the fridge on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So several days. So far, I am hitting it out of the park.
Nice.
So far, I have not screwed it up because I'm going to have a thawed turkey by Wednesday or Thursday or whatever. So then there's only 18 million, you know, YouTube videos or whatever on. So I went to allrecipes.com and I found the recipe to stuff it with like an apple and an onion and put celery and herbs and stuff in there and put it in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
Cooked it for 3 hours.
So you bagged it. You didn't
I bagged it.
Oh, nice.
Self-basted, and I put it upside down too, so that the,
Oh, nice.
It was delicious. And, you know, turkey's turkey. It's fine.
You can screw up a turkey. You can make it too dry.
Oh, yeah. That's true. No, but I mean, because it wasn't dry, it was like really good. And the gravy, holy crap, that was the best part. Like, that was amazing.
What kind? Did you make gravy from scratch?
Okay, well, yes. So what happens is, because everything that was in the bag was so yummy. Like everything was like you had apple, onion, rosemary, thyme, celery. I'm getting very excited about this right now.
Do you want to go back in time?
I just had like a successful cooking thing. So I guess that's why. So my brother-in-law obviously like held up the turkey, you know, with the bag and I cut a hole in the bottom and all the, you know, the juices came out, right?
Uh-huh.
And so those are really flavorful. And my mom did her little magic, like just take flour and cold water and dissolve it first and then add it. No salt, nothing was added. It was perfect.
That's amazing.
It was perfect.
That's great.
Yes.
Do you have lots of leftovers, or did it all?
Are you coming over?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did. I try to get rid of most of them because I don't really. But yeah, I did. I still have a little turkey left, and my sister brought a honey baked ham, so it was good. It was good. But the biggest thing about it, because like, what do we talk about on this show? Is relationships, is that it was such a chill day.
That's like, nice.
Everybody got along. Everybody, like, I mean, not that we fight during the holidays, but we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about like how, because you know, we still got some stuff coming up, right? We got Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever, everything coming up, and you know, we've got some more family dealings, and this is kind of a hard time of year for people because it brings up a lot of stuff. And one of the things I was concerned about with hosting was feeling like, kind of feeling 14 again, you know, like I'm the youngest. Yeah.
I always feel like a kid when I'm pushing 50, and I feel like a kid whenever I'm with my parents. I don't, it's so weird.
Yeah. And I think that's really, really common, right? I feel like I was worried about feeling sort of like I'm the youngest, and I thought I'm going to feel kind of adolescent and 14. And my sibling, to say this, I really don't have a lot of foundation for it, in the sense that like my siblings are, they're awesome. Like they super respect me and everything. And like, it was a really great day, but being in the context of my mom being around all of her kids, right? All of those little connections, all of those dynamics come into play, and suddenly, you know, we might be at a Friday night dinner after the divorce when it was like really uncomfortable and everybody was pissed off, and you know what I mean? Like, it's like you can kind of time travel.
Right. Right. Now, do you have political differences that add to that? Or are you just talking about your family history and that kind of causes those tensions or whatever?
We tend to stay away from politics.
Which is generally what they say to do.
Yeah, I would say that I'm trying to be diplomatic here.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, be careful.
Yeah. But my mom is way on one side, okay? And loves a particular person that I don't love. And so we can't talk about it for even like 2 minutes without like, and I take responsibility. I really lose my shit very quickly. And so I just avoid the topic, right? But sure. I've had to set this boundary that I've had to request over and over and over again about like, please don't bait me into this conversation, you know?
Right.
And it happens. And then, you know, I kind of like lose it for a little bit, and I have to just pull it back in and go, we're not going to do this. You know, this is not how I want to spend the last years of my mom's life, is like fighting over politics. Right. So, yeah, and that's one of the first things, because it brings up old stuff, you know? It's like if there's something that, let's say, you don't respect necessarily about your parents or a sibling or something like that, bringing up those broader topics like politics, which are so emotional and so loaded, it's almost like they get entangled into the family shit, you know, like, well, of course you think that, cause you never blah, 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 blah. You know?
Like, oh, right. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, of course you think everybody should do this, cause even when I was a kid, you thought this about me.
Right.
Really, really twisted. And so that's, you know, and that really comes to the, you know, the first point that I wanted to make about just family gatherings and, you know, whether it's around the holidays or just that you guys get together for dinner once in a while, modern family style, which is amazing. I really find it hard to believe that any family like that would get together every week, but makes for great television. this sounds terrible, but just lower your expectations.
Like when I go to Roland Emmerich films, I just lower the expectations. Well,
I think you lower your expectations for all films. an entirely different subject. I mean, the fact that you can sit through the movies that you sit through, you will never get those hours back of your life, Todd.
All 3.5 hours of The Irishman are gone.
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 Wow. I don't know how you do it. I mean, but really, but and when I say lower your expectations, I'm not just saying lower your expectations about having a nice time. I think that it's actually great to set an intention to have a nice time. I think that you can create an expectation of having a nice time. But what that means is not necessarily healing old wounds.
Right.
You're not going to heal old wounds over Thanksgiving dinner or on Christmas morning.
That's why they always say getting through it with your family. Not, you're not going to fix anything. It's about surviving from one day to the end day of the vacation.
Without having a blow up.
Yeah, without having a blow up.
Right, right.
Right.
Because the blow up is really about, is very rarely about the present moment and what's actually happening in the present moment. It's almost always about it becoming larger because of something in your past.
Right. That makes sense.
Like, I'm trying to think. My childhood was a little weird. So sometimes when I come up with these, I'm like, no, nobody's going to relate to that. I'm trying to think of like generic family problems. And I'm like, oh,
well,
no.
I'll tell you what.
Give me one, Todd.
I'll give you one. Because, my Thanksgiving dinner, for example, you know, we're all on the same page politically. So that, like, if we have that conversation, we're all just like piling on each other's whatever, aggravation or criticism or celebration, whatever we're talking about. But there are other things that sometimes it clicks me into getting a little short.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law, who I love very much, is a bit neurotic. And when she's not in control of the dinner that's mm-hmm. being made,
yes,
and she usually will bring a side dish to add, as you do. But as I was heating up the dinner, and I'll full disclosure, I didn't cook this year. Last year I did. I smoked a turkey, and it was good.
You get at least 3 years credit for that.
Yeah, that was a lot. So we got one of those, you know, boxes of Thanksgiving dinner stuff at Sprouts. And I'm heating it all up, and she kept like must ask me 4 or 5 times. So you have my side, right? Are you heating up my side? And then she kept, I think maybe you should take my side out of the fridge for a little while before you put it in there. I was like, okay, I'll take care of your side. I'm going to take care of your side. You have to have faith.
Well, there's two things that could be going on. One, she's really excited about eating that side. Like she might've made something she really liked.
No, I mean,
mostly it's about wanting to be seen.
Yeah, that's sure.
About, right. It's about wanting to participate and feeling like you did something like my mom, she makes something called sarma. It's an Armenian dish. It's sometimes called dolma. That's how most people know. It's like stuffed.
Oh, yeah.
And they're really great. And like my daughter went early and made them with her and like earlier in the week and she brought them and that was great. That was all she was supposed to bring. And the whole point of this was that she's finally getting a little too tired to host holidays, right?
Right, right.
So I was like really kind of happy for her that she was like relinquishing the hosting duties, you know? But she brought an enormous box of like a whole bunch of stuff because she just can't help it. Right?
Right.
She was on her way taking all this stuff back and she's like, I brought all this stuff and I'm leaving with all this stuff. It just isn't right. I'm like, nobody asked you to bring all that stuff. But I said it lovingly. Like I said it,
right.
You know, like right. It's okay. You know, you were just supposed to come and relax and the stuff she brought was great. But so much of that is just about one, just culturally, that's like their job. It's been their job. Right. And they just want to be seen. And 10 years ago, like if I was hosting a dinner and my mom brought all this stuff to crowd up the table, I would have gotten mad, you know?
Uh-huh.
And this year I was just like, you know what? Great. Let's put it out. Great. Let's put it out. Like no resistance. And you know,
you yes-anded your mom's stuff.
Yes-anded my mom's stuff. Absolutely. And if you don't know what that's referring to, read Tina Fey's Bossy Pants and she will explain it to you. It's an improvisational technique that doesn't stop the improvisation. If you start saying no and no, you like if a guy says, hey, how's this balloon? And you go, that's not a balloon. Now the improvisation's over. But if you say, how's this balloon? And they go, yes, isn't it great? It's got helium in it, blah, 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 blah. So a terrible example, but
I thought that was a great hot air balloon improv.
Thank you.
I stopped shooting yourself.
You're yes-anding me. So that was the yes and. And can I get you a platter? And do you want this? And oh, absolutely. Let me get you a bowl for that. And now the counter is just like totally full. And you know what? Who cares,
right?
It's really about I'm not going to an example of, let's say if I were going to try to solve a wound here or something, I'm not going to go into, you know, you always have to do this. You always bring too much stuff. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
crap. Like, are we going to solve that here? Like, what's the goal with that?
Right.
What is anybody ever going to get out of that conversation that's going to solve something? So really it's about just going with the flow and not resisting and just letting people be who they are. Because the other piece of this, like number two, is don't expect people to change.
Right. No. Yeah, no, they won't. And you're right. You want to make them feel a part of it, not an outsider. It's very easy, I think, when you're the host and you're, you know, responsible for heating up food and all that stuff. And people keep adding stuff for you to do or making sure you're doing something.
Yes.
It's very easy to get annoyed with that. But you're right, because you're sort of the point person. It's up to you to yes. And like, I make that same mistake, you know, with my kids sometimes when I'm working on something, you know, for the family, basically, and he wants to interject something. And I'm like, hang on. And I have to remind myself, oh yeah, well, I can yes and that, and he can be included.
Yeah, he just wants to be included.
Right, right.
And what I also can be compassionate about is that, like in my situation, it might have even been understandable if I was like, hey, this is my first time hosting it. I want it to be perfect and I want to be seen. I want to be heard. It's mine.
Right, right.
But, you know, and I get that people feel that way too. They're like, but I want things a certain way and I'm creating a picture and I'm doing this. And I get it. But what that creates then is a separation between the goal of being connected and the goal of being seen.
Right.
You know, like those become opposing.
They're at odds with each other.
They're at odds with each other. When what I felt really seen about by the end of the day was that everybody was thanking me and saying, this was so nice. This was just such a nice day because it was so chill.
Right.
And I'll take that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And one of the things that I did was I made a little investment beforehand. And this is a third little tip, is to get some games. But not necessarily like, what's the one? Humanity.
Cards Against Humanity?
Not that game.
No, probably not. Unless you're not sure which one of your relatives are racist. And then that's a great way to find out.
Again, not the time and place to find that out, Todd.
We're trying to maybe find it out.
Okay. So we don't need to heal old wounds or uncover old wounds.
I would say worse than Cards Against Humanity, worse would be Monopoly.
Oh,
don't play Monopoly with your fam. Don't play Monopoly. It's a terrible game and it always ends poorly.
Yeah.
Fights.
And also if you're going to play Monopoly, don't play free parking, because that's why the game goes on forever and it messes up the economy of the game. Just saying, if you're going to play it by the rules. Okay.
So, yeah, that's a good point.
So what I did is, because my niece is 7, she's going to be 8, and I got a Spirograph set and I got Connect 4 and I got a bunch of markers and pens and stuff. And that was really fun because it gave Sarah, my little niece, got to kind of school everybody in Connect Four all day. And it was really adorable. So I have like all these great pictures of like my mom playing Connect Four with her and everything. Gave people something to do and something to play with. And like the adults even had fun with the Spirograph. And it just gave people a way to kind of stay out of the way, first of all.
And entertaining, yeah. But not just looking at a football game.
Right. Which that was on too, of course. And actually,
sure.
Okay, this is a little embarrassing, but the only time I got stressed was when my all access pass wasn't working and I couldn't get the afternoon game on.
Oh no. Oh no. Yeah. If your Wi-Fi goes out and you love football.
I don't know if like people know that about me, but I'm kind of a big football fan and I really wanted to see the Bills beat the Cowboys. Sorry, Cowboys fans. I'm just kind of excited for something different in the AFC. But I was like kind of freaking out. Like I was starting to get stressed and my brother's looking at me, goes, "What are you stressing out? Because you can't get your game on?" I'm like, "I paid for the pass. I paid for the pass. Hold on." And I've got FOMO. And I'm on my computer figuring out. So it was like about 10 minutes where I was like, wigging.
But that's different than wigging out at your family. That's wigging out at technology.
Exactly. But it was technology. And I was like, oh, wow. I could feel like all this coming up. But it was all because of technology. I'm like, it's not anybody else's fault here. Don't, own your shit. And it came on. It was fine. So the game was on like on real low volume, mm-hmm. So, and I had like a ukulele out, people could like tool around on that. So like giving people like stuff to do and stuff to focus on, that really helped too. And it gave people an opportunity to like my nieces don't see my brother-in-law that often. But everybody kind of like had these little opportunities to connect and it wasn't super noisy, mm-hmm. Like it was just very, very relaxed. I mean, I was really surprised. It often feels very chaotic to me.
And yeah, so, it can, especially if you are the one getting stuff together, then it can get overwhelming as far as the chaos is concerned.
I thought about charades or something like that, but that really requires everybody to cooperate.
Yeah. And those games parlor games like that can get dicey as far as competition is concerned. Because when you're on your feet and you're acting stuff out, doing your pantomimes and all, and people are shouting guesses and it's teams, it can get, I've been at some holiday celebrity, that game Celebrity.
Yes.
Charades is part of it, but I've been at a couple of those and I don't care. It gets to be too much, especially if people are drinking.
Yeah. One, for some people in the family, it's very vulnerable and they're like too nervous about getting up and it puts them in a really uncomfortable position. Your family, right? They're not going to change,
Right.
Your brother's not suddenly going to be comfortable with public speaking and get up and like want to play charades. Just go with what you know. Let people be who they are and kind of set them up for success, essentially.
We got, which is fun, and I'm not a gambling person. I find gambling terrifying because I don't like
hate losing money.
Like I lose money without gambling all the time. I don't need to gamble. So I'm not really a card playing guy, but we got this card table that folds out and you put it on top of your dining table. And then you all sit around like you're at a casino and you can play poker or blackjack or whatever. And we have a ton of chips. So y'all can pretend like you're high rollers because the chips don't, they're not worth anything. So you can make these crazy bets. Totally fun. It's like low pressure.
The economy of the game, Todd.
But it makes everybody happy.
Yeah, especially if somebody's willing to deal blackjack.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of fun to be able to practice that and experience it in a safe way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because it really feels shitty to lose money.
But when you have a bunch of chips that you didn't pay for that are just chips, then it's totally fun. Then you're like, yeah, I'm going to bet $100 on this.
I'm going to triple down.
Because it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, totally yeah, yeah.
Fun. Oh, and one more thing.
Yes.
The thing about watching a football game is that you do commune in a certain way. It's not the same, but it does keep the conversations that can cause terrible problems, you know, from happening if you're focused on a game. And same thing, like if your family's getting real tense, just put on The Irishman. 3.5 hours of no conversation, just looking at weird CGI faces and old man bodies. It'll keep the family occupied.
Wow. Wow. In my household, it's like pretty safe to watch football because none of my family are Patriots fans. I mean, if they might be secretly Patriots fans, but they don't tell me.
Yeah, did no one admit to that anymore.
Yeah, that's just how it is. Okay, we're going to take a little break for a little quick commercial.
Hey, this is Sophie Venable, and thanks for listening to MILF Talk. If you are a single woman wanting to draw an awesome relationship into your life, check out my new book, Intentional Dating, How to Stop Dating by Default and Attract Your Best Life Partner. This book will provide you with insight into yourself and into men and this whole thing we call dating. Figure out your blocks, get clear about what you want, and learn what actually makes a relationship work. There are amazing, kind men out there wanting to be appreciated and wanting to appreciate you. Intentional Dating is available for your Kindle, and you can order it today on Amazon. Go to Amazon and search Intentional Dating Sophie Venable, or use bit.ly link Intentional Dating with a capital I and a capital D. You can also find free and almost free resources on my website, sophievenable.com, including a texting guide, divorce guide, and a 21-day breakup recovery challenge. Thanks for listening to MILF Talk, and now let's return to the podcast.
Okay, so let's do a quick review, Todd, of everything that we learned so far about the holiday. One,
remember that don't talk to your family.
Don't talk to them. Don't look at them. Don't even look at them
in the eye. Point at them. Pretend they're not there.
Right. Just everybody shut up. Take a vow of silence when you walk in the house.
It's an all quiet Thanksgiving.
It's an all quiet meditative, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Number one is keep your expectations low. But this is about expectations of people changing or solving some kind of, old pain or finally feeling understood or any of these things. You want to keep the expectations realistic and not low. You don't want to keep the expectation low. You actually want to intend to have a really nice day and nice conversations and to kind of go with the flow. And so that was one of the things we talked about, was the yes and, right? Mm-hmm. You want to not resist what's going on. If, Aunt Mary wants to bring 8 sides, just figure it out.
That's fine.
Because number 2 is you don't want to expect people to change. They're really not going to be different. In fact, they might even be an exaggerated version of themselves. because these things, these moments bring kind of exaggerate people's personality sometimes.
Sure. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. And if you're drinking.
Well, that's what I was going to say. But the third review was to bring some fun, bring some activities, not necessarily competitive games, but like activities that can keep people interested. It's like when you go to a restaurant and they have the tablecloth that's made of paper and you have a bunch of crayons. There's something about that just kind of gets everybody in the present moment, gets them off their phones, gets them playing tic-tac-toe or whatever. I mean, literally you could have tic-tac-toe out and it would make a difference in the sense that gives people something to focus on and to, it's like a conversation starter. And you would think you don't really need that with your family, but sometimes you do, sometimes.
I always played with my grandma on the holidays. I always played, she called it Chinese checkers.
I love Chinese checkers.
Yeah, it's totally fun. But I never beat her. She never let me win. She wasn't that kind of grandma.
What a bitch. Sorry, grandma. Just kidding. I love Chinese checkers. You know what else I love? It's Yahtzee.
Oh, Yahtzee. Yeah.
Yahtzee's really, really good. Fun. Yeah, I love Yahtzee's that. Oh, good. I forgot about Chinese checkers. It's so fun.
Yeah, Jenga's
really
a good game.
Too.
Yeah, it is pretty good, the marbles. Jenga's pretty good.
Jenga bugs the crap out of me. I hate it when things fall all over the place.
Oh, I get the stress element of that. I saw a video of a lady playing it with her dog. It was amazing. This, I think, I can't remember what kind of dog. I think it was like a collie or something like that. But very carefully, this dog was pulling these Jenga things out and trying to keep it from falling down.
Pulling?
It was amazing.
Pulling?
Yeah, like with its mouth. It would bite the little pieces of wood, but it was doing it so gingerly and slowly to get it out.
Would it get upset when they fell? I'm going to look this up.
No, look it up. He didn't get
it. We're going to do an entire episode next week on dog Jenga.
Dog Jenga, yes.
Hey, there's dog yoga. Why not dog Jenga?
There's all kinds of crazy things in this world. Last time we didn't get to talk about perineum sunbathing.
Oh, I forgot about the perineum.
Did you look that up?
Sunbathing. Well, I mean, it's not much to look up. I mean, I don't know if I want to see all that.
It's not much to look up. It really isn't. I just think it's hilarious that it's a trend.
It's
people sunning their buttholes. That's funny to me.
I know. It is kind of funny. I don't know. Everybody's got to have their platform, right? Like, okay, I like I'm not saying me, people. I'm saying I'm quoting the person, okay, saying, I really like spread my legs toward the sun. I'm going to write a blog about this. I mean, pretty soon they're going to sell some kind of product, you know, like fancy sunscreen for your vulva. I don't know. Like, what? Everybody's got a thing.
That's not something I'd recommend doing at a family holiday, though.
Perennial sunbathing?
Yeah, if you like it. Yeah, don't do it at the holidays. Yeah.
And maybe don't share it at the dinner table. That might be.
That's your new hobby?
That's your new hobby? No. You might want to stay away from that. Like, okay, again, people don't change a lot. Maybe don't bring up. I didn't bring up Michael Pollan's book, How to Change Your Mind, which is about psychedelics and the new trends in psychedelic assisted therapy, which you'll probably hear me talking about over the course of time because I'm pretty fascinated by this because we can actually heal trauma. But if I bring up the subject of psychedelics at my table, like, that's not going to go over well. You know, I'll be sitting there going, oh, wait, but no, I mean, it's not recreation. Wait, what that'll sound like. And then I'll just feel really sad.
yeah.
Like, let's not try out new controversial topics at the table, like perineum sunbathing.
Yeah. I don't know how controversial it is.
But although my sister and I would have a very good, quiet little Beavis and Butthead chuckle at the end of the table. We could have all kinds of fun with that. Yeah. She and I would just be like snort laughing over on the end of the table.
Yeah.
So, so here's another little tip. And you have to know your family. Again, I don't know your family. I know my family. The other thing that I didn't do was put out a big bar. I didn't do that this time. You know what I mean? It was like a 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And I still made a couple cocktails for people. You know, it was like, here, let me get this bottle out of the cabinet and make you a drink and put it back.
Yeah. Right. So you got to monitor the drinking a little bit.
A little bit, because I didn't want emotions to run higher than they do.
Yeah.
Alcohol-free.
Wrong things. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, and I know for a lot of people, they're like, oh, hell no, I can't be around. I got to take the edge off. And I get that. I totally get that. And I would say probably everybody had one or two cocktails throughout the day because it wasn't – I do think that when you set out a bar, it becomes this invitation to, like, get
hammered. True.
I'm making physical movements right now, describing making – that's not really reading to you guys, sorry. But I mean, it's sort of a signal almost to
– Yeah, have at it.
Have at it. Yeah, exactly.
Belly up to the bar, family.
Free booze.
Because people love free booze.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
It's like the free aspect of it takes the any kind of judgment around it completely out of it. I've noticed
that. Yeah, and when it's free, you want to get as much as you can.
Yeah. What is that?
You know? Yeah.
I got to take advantage of this. It's free. Like, that hangover tomorrow is not free.
No, it doesn't
have any less effect. You know, but, you know, I'm being all like, grown up and responsible now and I'm talking. I mean, I'm totally susceptible to drinking too much.
Oh, yeah. If I'm ever at a rap party with an open bar, I better lift.
We're all going to lift. Let's see. I just want to get a couple more little things in here just to like give you some tips for planning ahead for your holidays. Hoping that you all had a good Thanksgiving and control what you can control and go path of least resistance with the fam, right? Because they are not going to be any different. They're not going to change. You're not going to suddenly feel understood. You're not going to be able to control everything. I was sort of like, what if I burn the whole turkey?
Oh, yeah. It's
you know,
terrifying.
That happens. That happens, right? Everybody's waiting for that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, then, you know, you eat the ham or you like hope that Ralph's is still open and go get a chicken. I don't know. Like, yeah, just.
And there's these days, there's restaurants open everywhere.
Well, and you could plan ahead. You could plan ahead for disaster if you want. Like, you could have a backup turkey loaf or something in there, you know, but then you got to remember to eat that over. Because it gives you more leftovers, you know, when everything turns out fine. So overall, I think that what am I trying to say, Todd?
The best way to handle your family on the holidays?
Overall, the best way to handle your family on the holidays is to relinquish control. Because this might be one of those holidays where you're like, God, I can't wait to tell everybody the good news. I didn't even talk about my book at Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
No, because I just thought I'm not going to make this some kind of thing where we all go around the table and kind of announce our stuff. You know what I mean? It's just like when you try to control, I always find that when you try to control those things, it just gets kind of like awkward and weird and nobody listens. And maybe that's my family. They're not the best listeners. They're just not. I love them to death. Yeah. And mom can't hear very well.
Oh, you know? That gets in the way.
So when somebody's saying what, and you have to repeat things and then somebody else gets mad because you're repeating something, it creates chaos, right?
Yeah. And
kind of like pissiness. Oh, my niece wanted to like say grace. It's always awesome. When you have like a 7 or 8 year old around, just let them have the floor. Let them run the show because everybody's happy. They're adorable. Everybody's good, right?
Yes, that's very true. Well, I mean, I'm sure there are people out there who can't stand 7 and 8 year olds. I mean,
I know.
General.
Go with it. Don't resist. Let them be adorable. Even if it brings up all of your old shit and pain that you were never listened to when you were 7 or 8, doesn't matter. Let it go. Not going to fix that today.
Right. That's a very good point.
Just going to have to take that into therapy.
You know? Deal with it on your own.
When that 7 or 8 year old is like getting all the attention and they're being adorable and you didn't get that, just pay attention to your body. Where are you feeling it? Are you feeling it in your chest? Are you feeling it in your stomach? Be kind to yourself. Be compassionate with yourself and then take it into therapy. And maybe then you can utilize this experience to heal something. But in the moment at dinner, not going to happen.
Let the kid go. I always let the kid do whatever they're going to do. But then when they're done, I do insist on doing a monologue. Usually Shakespearean. I'll do the
Ingmar Bergman scenes from A Marriage, something like really heavy.
Yeah, real heavy stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Or I'll just recite the entire screenplay from Altman's Shortcuts from memory because I know the whole 3 hours.
So you really do use the family events to try to finally be seen.
Yes.
To be respected because as a fine actor.
I don't get enough attention from my career, so I want to get it from them. And it's a captive audience. What are they going to do?
Is that how you clear the room? Okay, dessert's over. Now for my monologue. And they all start filing out one by one. Okay, I got to go. Having dessert at a friend's house.
Oh, boy. What are you going to do?
Well, you know, I'm sure that Hillary and Colby are captivated and they watch.
No.
Oh, they're the ones that leave.
No, I have to beg them to watch my stuff on TV. It's a weird thing when your dad's on. You don't really want to watch it because it feels weird.
I'm just taking this in. Sorry.
No, it is. It's an awkward thing. Well, it's awkward for me. I mean, to be honest, I don't really beg them to watch stuff, but if I'm on a family show that Colby can watch, then I generally want to watch it with him because most of the stuff I do, he can't watch.
Well, I guess that's what I was thinking. I was like, you wouldn't really want him to watch You're the Worst. Right.
No.
And then like the Hawaii 5-0 episode, which I thought you were fucking brilliant in.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Also probably not something that, you know, you necessarily want him to see you as, but I can see why it would be like uncomfortable, I guess. But
for sure.
Which, by the way, if you haven't seen Todd in Hawaii 5-0, it's a great episode.
Oh, thank you.
Go on IMDb, figure it out.
That's something to do with spring break.
Oh, that's
but
right.
But they all have Hawaiian names. So
right.
Like all the episodes are Hawaiian words. I don't know what they mean, but that one has something to do with spring break.
Oh, okay.
Pauly Shore's on it. Look up Hawaii 5-0 Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore. Okay, good. Yeah, no, it's really awesome. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. We got sidetracked by me forcing my family to watch my TV shows.
Yes. Don't do that on the holidays either. Little tip.
No.
Breaking out. I'm going to break out all my old theater videos because it's so much fun to watch musicals on videotape on VHS.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to break that out for Christmas.
From one vantage point from the far back of the theater.
Yes, so yes. Just like with really crappy sound. Blurry. All right. Well, let's see. How am I gonna end this show, Todd?
What if it blows up anyway? You go, you have the intention of having a joyful time, but then it just blows up anyway.
Okay. So final thought here is if it does go awry, right? What if it completely blows up? What if something, I mean, if it's a food situation, like if something, you know, like we've talked about, if it burns or whatever, we're going to have to, again, just roll with it, right? And if it does start to blow up, right? Let's say other family members start to fight.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you want to not continue the habit of the family system, right? You're going to disengage from the usual fight. Okay. So let's say the family's getting in their usual fight. I want you to think of like cogs of a clock. Okay. So a family system works like all these cogs, right? And so there's this habit that we get into of the same fight over and over again, or the same discussion or the same dynamic, right? This person gets mad at this person for nothing. And then they do this. And then this person walks out and then this person's crying and this person, you know, so there's this whole thing. Well, if you remove your cog, essentially, if you're like, well, I'm going to disengage from this usual explosion or whatever, it won't have as much momentum, right?
Right.
And you might even be able to, if you're strong enough and you're sober enough, you might even be able to say, hey, let's not do this. You know, let's agree to disagree and maybe have it go another way. You might be able to encourage them to not do that. But if it's not working, then mostly you just kind of have to stand out of the way of the door. Like if somebody wants to leave, just let them leave. You don't have to engage and defend and say who's right, say who's wrong. You really can be Switzerland and just be as neutral as possible. And then, you know, try to make the best of the situation. And it's really devastating, of course, when that happens and the whole, you know, because we're sort of sitting with the feeling of like, wow, this is just how it goes with my family. And that can be really heartbreaking. And I hope that that didn't happen to too many people this year. But if it does, that would be what I would want you to understand, is that it's a system issue, mm-hmm. right? It's something that works because it's kind of been in place for years. And so if you can disengage and you can maybe encourage one of your siblings to disengage, sometimes what happens is it just loses its energy.
Momentum?
Yeah. And it kind of like diffuses in a weird, awkward way. You know,
right.
I've sometimes kind of pretended I didn't hear something and just like, ah, there's that. Yeah. Oh, you know, go attend to one of the kids.
I was
going to
ask you,
bathroom.
Like, yeah,
you know,
if changing the subject or, you know, some kind of deflection away from the conversation is a way to go.
Yeah, you can. I mean, again, everything's a little bit unique, but sometimes you can just not take the bait. You can just kind of pretend you didn't hear something, you know, suddenly get deaf like grandma, get the selective hearing, you know, like just move on from it, or offer dessert, or say, oh, did anybody see this movie? Did anybody see The Irishman? Go there.
Yeah. Because what do you mean you haven't seen The Irishman? It's only 3.5 hours. Come on over. Right. We'll watch it.
Well, let's, you know what? Let's turn it on now. Just deflecting, or that's going to help take the momentum out, because what happens is everybody becomes, you know, everybody time travels and goes back to who they were, you know, when you were unseen, unheard teenagers and, you know, angsty and angry, and everybody kind of reverts back into that, and the whole thing, you know, you're arguing about nothing. And right. if we can just choose to not engage in that and go, you know what, I don't need to be right. I don't need to be heard. I don't need to be seen. I don't need any of that. All I want is just to have a nice day. And a lot of times you can think about the kids. You can just be like, I just want the kids to have a nice day today.
Yeah. You know?
And I don't want them to see the adults doing all of this stuff. And so the only thing you can do, the only thing you have control over, is your own reaction. You can react or you can respond.
Right.
And you can take response ability. Okay. You have the ability to respond instead of react, and you can respond in the best way possible to help, diffuse the situation. That's all you can do.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Don't add fuel to the fire.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's not going to pay off. It's not going to
no.
pay off. It never does.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about political arguments. I mean, when do you ever come out like having fixed anything?
No. And what happens is then you take all of that energy with you. It continues, you know, and then let's say the day is over and everybody's left. Then what are you talking about the rest of the day? You're talking about how crazy it was and how shitty it was and how everybody got into an argument, or so-and-so was being a baby, or this or that. And then you're probably talking about it the next day. And then you're doing a podcast about it. And then, you know, it just lives on forever.
Yeah,
and all
yeah.
of that energy stays in your body. And those, like all of those emotions literally become part of you and part of your temperament and part of your mood. And who needs that? Like, we just don't need to hang on to the past so much that we continually carry it into our future. And I have to say for myself, having this really lovely kind of chill holiday. And again, it's not that my family fights all the time. It's not that. Holidays are usually pretty nice, but they tend to be a little like challenging and stressful, you know, because you're sort of waiting for somebody to try to heal their childhood wounds.
Right, right.
They kind of like go on too long and everybody gets tired and cranky and this, you know. But this was so chill and so nice and so connective. I've realized what an incredible difference that has made in the week following, you know, just like how was Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving was actually awesome. I kind of didn't like Thanksgiving before. Uh-huh. I got to where I didn't like it. And it just felt like too much work and too much pressure, and everybody's got to be at this house or that house. And I don't know, there was just something about simplifying it and lowering the expectations and keeping it very simple and keeping it chill that just really worked for everybody. And everybody kind of walked away feeling good and connected, which is amazing.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we go for at our holidays, is keeping it chill. That's our whole thing.
Yeah. So that's the holiday message for today. Keep it simple.
I like it.
Yes. Yes. And I hope that everybody had a lovely Thanksgiving and that you are slowing down a bit and not rushing around too much for the holidays. If you can keep your self-care up as much as possible in December, it really helps. And if you are stressed and or depressed or lonely around the holidays, reach out for help. Reach out to people. Reach out to friends. See if you can find some place to be. These are difficult times for a lot of people. And if you know that your friends are alone, maybe you can invite them or connect with those people that might not have family out where you are. It can be a very lonely time for people, and a lot of people don't want to admit that or burden people with that information. And that can bring you a lot of joy to bring somebody else some joy and some connection as well. So keep that in mind. Keep it in mind on the roads too. Try not to flip each other off too much, okay? Be kind. All right. Well, thank you, Todd. Thank you for being here with me. And
my pleasure.
If you want to find anything out about Todd Robert Anderson, you can look up at toddrobertanderson.com. And if you would like free and almost free resources, please go to sophievenable.com. If you are a single woman in the dating world and you want lots of help with that, please check out my new book, Intentional Dating, available on Kindle and soon to be on paperback. Thank you for listening to MILF Talk, and thank you, Todd, for being here.
Thank you.
This is Sophie Venable reminding you that you don't have to make your life perfect, just make it fabulous.
You're listening to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous, with Sophie Venable, only on LA Talk Radio.